right here, right now. Talk some golf with a longtime friend, pro player, tremendous instructor. He's back in our area for the summer. Be giving lessons at both Fiddler's Green on Highway 99, Pine Ridge out on Sunderman and Springfield. On Twitter, the handle is @GolfWithFreedom. Check out the website, yes, golfwithfreedom.com. Brandon Richards is back. Brandon, how's life been treating you these days?
Hello, Steve. Life's been good. Yeah, just got back from the desert down in Palm Springs. Busy winter season, and good to be back.
You know, I'd like to start with the start, because I don't know if I've ever asked you this. I was talking this week about how my grandfather in Florida got me into golf with the premise that you can't play baseball, basketball, and football the rest of your life. So, obviously, you didn't pick up a club and shoot par. I'm kind of curious as to your origins in the game, what got you started, and, you know, obviously, a game has become so instrumental in your life.
Sure, yeah. I was lucky in that I started sports pretty early, so I was playing baseball and basketball. Actually, as soon as I could basically sit up, my dad was rolling a ball to me and playing kind of catch on the floor, basically. And then right around 7 or 8 years old, he got me into golf. And so I had already been, quote-unquote, cross-training in baseball and basketball, so developing all these hand-eye coordination skills, and then was able to, you know, roll it into golf, and I took to it a little faster. I was already fairly efficient in the other things and did well in them, but there was something about golf that was that sparked a lot faster for me, and then suited me better as I grew up.
The weekend before last, hell of a U.S. Open. Rory looked like he was poised to break a decade-long majors drought. Missed a couple of tough putts. The winner, Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, that's a bunker shot for the ages. So, first, Pinehurst, so tough. What about just overall how compelling that event was at that venue? And as a golfer, just how hard was that sand shot?
They did the math on it. His odds of getting that up and down in general was less than 2%. So for him to knock it inside 4 feet or so was not very probable, to say the least. So, yeah, everybody was pretty impressed by that. Just incredible how he was able to pull that off. That particular golf course, any Donald Ross course is challenging in that he likes to design his greens like upside down bowls. So you can hit some pretty good shots, like what we saw Rory do on that par five early in the round, hits the front third of the green, but it got rappelled off and then rolled into pretty much an awful lie and position, the angle to the pin, all of it. So he ended up making bogey there, where it looked like he could have had a putt for eagle. That kind of thing, and that the way I commend them for they took like 35 acres of grass that they were watering and turned it into a more natural area. So they took out like 1,000 sprinkler heads, so they're saving tons of water. But they made it so that when you just barely missed the fairway, you kind of were crossing your fingers and rolling the dice on whether or not you had a decent lie, or you were stuck in the middle of the bush and had to pitch it out. So Bryson, you noticed at the end, he was missing lots of fairways, but he was fortunate most of the time to draw a decent enough lie to get fairly solid contact on most of those shots.
Talking with Brandon Richardson, Golf with Freedom. So the PGA was at Valhalla. We know where the Masters is held. Next month, the British is at Royal Troon, the birthplace of golf in Scotland. Of course, where we've seen Arnie Watson, Weisskopf win. So if I asked you the most famous track you've played, who makes the list?
So everybody recognizes Pebble Beach. I got super lucky and invited to play in a pro-am a few years back. It was funny when I got the call. They're like, "Hey, Brandon, there's a Pebble Beach Pro-Am on such and such a date. Can you make it?" And before he finished his sentence, I was like,
yeah,
of course. I didn't even look at the calendar of what I had. I was just like, yeah, I'm there. Had never played it before. So I would say that was probably the most recognizable one that people would know the most about and seen on TV and all the history with that. The other courses that I've played, probably not as well known, but down in PJ West, in the desert near where I work the winters. They have a PGA Tour event there every year. I actually played in a pro-am the week before the amateur one there. He shot like 24 under or something crazy. I played the Stadium course, which is a Pete Dye course, also known to be fairly challenging, and the Nicholas tournament course, and we played those as a 3-day event. I managed to shoot like 6 under par.
Nice.
And win by 3. Yeah, I surprised myself a little bit. Didn't hit it in the water once. In the Stadium course, they have that Alcatraz green where it's just green rocks and water, right? And so it's the way Dye talks about how he designs things is that the courses look challenging or very difficult, but they're actually not. So it's a basic 9-iron. As long as the wind's not blowing, you aim for the middle of the green, you should be able to hit it most times. But you notice that if you don't hit it, it's in the rocks and in the water. And that's the thing, is he likes to draw your attention to these hazards and make it look harder than it is.
Well, I think there's a rule. If you talk about Pebble, I've got to ask you, what's it like to stand on 18 with the Pacific Ocean out of bounds on your left?
Yeah.
Kind of walk me through your strategy. Do you hit a driver? How'd you play the hole?
Well, I don't know how many times I'm going to get to play that, so I treated it like it was probably the only time I'm going to get to play it. So it's like, if this is the only time I get to play it, of course I'm hitting driver and I'm taking an aggressive line. And we were fortunate. It was a pretty nice day, pretty calm, just sweater weather. And yeah, I took it at the tree and just faded it a touch, and ended up past it and on the right. But, it definitely crossed my mind a few times, like, it's pretty easy to snap it into the ocean and make a big number.
That's great. Talking with Brandon Richardson, Golf with Freedom online, golfwithfreedom.com, a unique approach to instruction. So kind of explain that approach. You talk about making breakthroughs, incorporating environment. When we've talked, I've always seen it as kind of a less restrictive method.
Yeah, and even further to that, it's just a more instinctive way of learning, using your innate abilities to grow the technique and draw it out. So just using that shot as an example, standing on that tee, my attention went to the first thing out of most people's heads, like, don't snap hook it in the water or pull it in the water. But then the next thing was, well, what do I really want to do, and what would it feel like to do that? And so I connect with that possibility, and then start to embody it in a rehearsal. So it's like, oh, I want to hit it at that tree and fade it or draw it or whatever it is that you choose to do. And then you start to sink back into your senses and use those to guide out the technique and trust it and let it go. When you're learning a motor skill, it only takes attention and awareness. And so if your intention is to hit a ball, and keeping it super simple, if you're a beginner up in the air, what do you need to know? And then it's like, oh, I need to be able to feel the club touch the turf. And then where does it touch the turf? And how do I move so that it touches the turf after it hits the ball, if you're hitting an iron off the ground? And feel those things in your senses so that you own it. You don't have to remember anything because you've experienced it, just like a toddler learning to walk. You feel this, that happens. You feel this, that happens. And you actually partner with failure. Most people's experience of failure is to avoid it at all costs, but you actually need it to learn. If you don't feel the things that you're doing, quote unquote, wrong, how could you ever figure out how to do it right either? Like, you have to be able to distinguish them. And when you can do that for yourself, it's really empowering. And that's what I'm shooting for with everybody. So I have to create an environment for people where it's safe to fail and learn from it, and then know what they're shooting for so that they can keep noticing it for themselves and know how to coach themselves when they go practice on their own.
So if folks visit golfwithfreedom.com, you'll see now something, the use of Sportsbox 3D Golf. And you mentioned it's something Bryson DeChambeau uses. I guess explain how you assisted in the beta test and have become kind of an ambassador, and how it might differ from some of the more traditional instruction.
Sure. Yeah, it was pretty neat to be a part of that at the ground level when they were first developing it. Jihei Lee, a former LPGA player, came up with it during the pandemic. She had been working in tech for a little while and had kind of all the pieces in place, and then had the time to put them together during the pandemic. And so she started Sportsbox AI and needed folks like myself. She probably recruited 100 or 200 pros to work on it and use the beginnings of the app to develop it, because it uses AI for learning, and it needed a lot of, you know, data to learn from. So lots of swings, right? Lots of students using it in your own swing so that they could load it in there and train it. So what it does is it takes a slow motion video, and I was just working with a student this morning in Chicago who sent me a slow motion video. I plug it in, it loads up in like 10, 15 seconds, and then it has a full 3D motion capture. So we can see what his rotation is, his sway, we can see the club, his hand path, like all of it. And to have all of that and measured to the inch and the degree is incredibly powerful, because video is useful, but it can be skewed based on the positioning of it, and it's hard to measure those things and quantify them as detailed as this can. And so being part of that and watching it develop to the point where Bryson DeChambeau is using it actively as he's preparing for the week and during the golf tournament in between rounds, so that he's making sure he's noticing, and he and his coach were noticing that he was sliding just a little bit with his pelvis towards the target or swaying, and to be able to tighten that up so that he could, you know, play as well as he possibly could.
Wow. Yeah, talk about a difference. I think we all learned during the pandemic, things can be virtual and not in person. The last thing I want to get to is, I mentioned Fiddler's Green in Eugene, the Super Golf Center here, and out on Sunderman Road in Springfield, Pine Ridge, a very neat little track in our area. So let the folks know what kind of lessons you'll be conducting and how they could all get set up with you.
Yeah, I'm just here for a short time in the summer, a few months, so I'm doing private lessons in private groups. When people sign up, they can do that through the website, and they can select where they want to do it. There's more availability at Fiddler's simply because of the location and it being closer to where I'm at. And out in Pine Ridge, I'm helping out with some Nike Junior golf camps, and we'll have openings after I finish those up in the afternoon. So people can sign up and choose the location, and based on availability, they can plug themselves in for that.
Great. Folks, he's Brandon Richardson, always an intriguing chat for our many golfers. On Twitter, again, at Golf With Freedom, online, golfwithfreedom.com. Brandon, great catching up as always. Welcome back to town for summer. Be well, and of course, you and I will connect again down the road.
Great. Thanks, Steve. And I will point out that I'm not really that active on Twitter. It's Instagram. Still at Golf With Freedom, but yeah.
Great. Good point.
Cool.
have a good one, Brandon. Take care.